Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Happy Wednesday, Spirituality What? Listeners, we are back this week with part two of our alcohol and spirituality discussion with Janie Lee Grace from the UK. Today we get into a little bit more details about AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, its Christian base, and her controversial view on it, which is very interesting. I spoke about the Till the Wheels Fall Off podcast a couple weeks ago, and they really like AA in that podcast and they really believe in it. And I think I kind of agree that, you know, there's a time and place for everything and some things work for some people. So if you're looking for another view, that's an interesting podcast. We talk a little bit more about her focus on the foreword and living her best life, alcohol versus self-love, which is interesting because we have talked about self-love already this year. Coming back to yourself without alcohol, the overall kindness of sober people, and the fact that we choose hangovers for ourselves. Like, actually, what the fuck are we thinking? We know what we're doing. And in most cases, we wouldn't choose to do something to ourselves that would make us sick and feel like shit. But we do with that for some reason. Talking to friends about how you're not drinking, letting them off the hook, letting them know what's going on, and kind of some recommendations on how to do that. The Sober Club, which is the well-being community that she founded. 3 a.m. liver repair. Interesting story about that. And then the, quote, benefits of red wine. And with that, we will dive right into our conversation.
Yeah, really makes a difference. We like, you know, we're adults. We like a nice drink. We don't want, you know, a can of soda or a crappy pint glass with, you know, Coke or something in it. We don't want that. That's not what we want as adults. But we also don't need toxic liquid.
That is so interesting. What an interesting, I don't know why I never really thought of that. But so I had another kind of question related to religion. And since we're sort of on the topic now of like potentially being sober, I love the sober curious. I think that's like so inviting and inclusive. And I love that verbiage. Is it AA, Alcohol Anonymous, like a Christian-based methodology, like the 12-step program, isn't that religious-based or faith-based?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm aware, I've never got involved with anything connected with AA. My view on it is probably will be controversial to some people.
Get it out there.
My understanding is that the idea of Alcoholics Anonymous, when it first came about, it was based around the 12-step program and Christianity, and the thinking around the 12-step program and the AA principles is that only with God's help can you stay sober.
Kind of
so
limiting.
One day at a time, if you surrender to a higher power, you may hold on for one more day. Now, I'm exaggerating and there'll be people screaming at this. So no, that's not what AA means. And of course, I'm fully aware that now, of course, it's grown and expanded. And I am really aware that there now are some branches of AA where you do not have to focus on religion. And you can indeed bring in other source or whatever. I'm aware of that. So I do know that it's changed in some instances. I also believe, just to caveat that AA has helped millions, because many people really want connection with others in person. And for that, you know, I applaud them greatly. But the basic principle behind it of needing to surrender to a higher power to stay sober for one more day because you have a disease called alcoholism, that's the piece that I don't agree with. I don't believe that it is a disease that you can't be free from. I believe that anyone can be free from the alcohol trap. And so when people say that they're an alcoholic and they've been sober for 30 years, I'm sorry, I just think that's bonkers. Any more than if you stopped smoking 30 years ago, you are no longer a smokeaholic, if you ever were. You are someone who used to drink or someone who used to smoke, but you are not an alcoholic. You are, as far as I'm concerned, recovered. And it's a very controversial view. Why it's controversial, I'll never know. But having said that, I have never been at rock bottom. So perhaps for those people who were clinically dependent, they do feel very different. And that's as may be. I work with people who are, the expression is grey area drinkers, the term coined by Jolene Park, or middle lane drinkers, or those people who are drinking more than they want to, who have recognised it and they've managed to step off the booze elevator before they hit rock bottom. Before. They're the people I'm working with. And I believe that those people can make a choice and can be free, completely free, because it's not a dis-ease. You can be free.
I think it's interesting. I'm not very familiar. I've even called it Alcohol Anonymous instead of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm very unfamiliar with that program. But when you say sort of the surrender, it feels like a lack of accountability and responsibility as well, sort of as a human just saying, like letting go. And yes, there is something to be said about letting go and letting God, you know, or the universe or energy or whatever sort of take over and trusting in that process. But at the same time, it feels like you aren't taking responsibility for your own actions. In a, again, maybe controversial, just, you know, off the cuff here, but it's just a very interesting, like, do we, like in the smoking example, is it the same thing apply there? So it seems like very similar, like smoking isn't, substance that you're taking in, cigarettes, tobacco, whatever, just like alcohol, but one is a disease but one's not. That's just
I agree. I don't understand their thinking fully, and as I say, I know that there'll be people listening to this who says, no, you need to come along to the AA meeting I go to because it's completely different, and I guess it is, but my belief is that if we can inspire people to recognize that life is better without alcohol, to inspire them to recognize that they can make a choice, that they can take back responsibility for their own health and well-being and choose to live their best life without a substance, that's when we can get progress. When you can start to focus on, okay, so I don't know how I've got this far into the podcast without telling you that I always recommend that you never use the phrase giving up. So you literally never say giving up, because there's nothing to give up and everything to gain. So everything in my focus is future. Everything in my kind of from my perspective is focusing on the future. It's focusing on living your best life. I very rarely touch back to anything in the past. So even the whole concept of sitting around talking about my darkest days, you know, I don't need to do that anymore. I'm recovered. I'm free from that trap. And I'm just always going to focus on living my best life and never have to go back there. Why would I? Why would I? Someone who actually starts to love themselves, starts to have self-respect and self-esteem, does not need to self-harm. Right. And that's the basis of it. When, you know, and a lot of people find this tricky, you know, it's like, oh, it's such a difficult word, isn't it? Self-love, it all sounds so woolly, but you know, that's the reality. When I were the reason I couldn't meditate, the reason I couldn't actually get in, you know, see that self-love piece for myself, was because I was pouring toxic liquid in. And I think it's really hard, really hard, to properly have self-respect and self-love when you are poisoning yourself. And that's what it is. It's self-harming is what it is. Let's be clear about that. It's self-harm. That's what drinking alcohol is. You are literally harming yourself.
Well, and it, you said, right, it numbs you. We established it disconnects you from yourself. So how can you love yourself if you're just habitually disconnected from yourself? You can't even know
exactly
yourself,
that.
You know
exactly that.
But it's, I guess, scary if you're afraid or nervous about what you might find there. Sure.
And that happens to lots of people. Yeah. I have a lot of clients who I can see that what's holding them back from staying stopped, if you like, if they're in the early stages of quitting alcohol, they start to get a sense of, oh, hold on a minute. When there's nothing to numb out with anymore, I'm going to have to look at what's really going on. I'm going to have to look at stuff that I've just numbed out from before. And there's no denying that's tough because, you know, most of us are not very emotionally mature. You know, we've been drinking since we were teenagers. So every single big thing that's happened in our life, everything has been through the haze of alcohol. Everything, relationships, marriage, you know, weddings, funerals, play dates, just about everything, sex, everything has been under the haze of alcohol. And we very rarely had to actually get in touch with our emotions. And when we finally do, it's a bit of a shocker, you know, that expression, we have to feel all the feels. It's a shock to the system. But the good news is, if you work through this, if you support your brain chemistry, and that's a very important piece of this, you've got to actually eat right and do the self-care piece. And if you do, then after an initial period where I can't deny it does feel kind of weird, you feel a bit exposed and a bit raw and you've got no bloody idea who you are. There's this awful thing of, oh, I don't even know who I am now with that alcohol. Who am I? You know, when you've kind of gone through that, you actually start to find you can come back to who you really are. And I've never met anyone who prefers themselves drunk, right? And you start to come back to who you really are. And from that place, you discover a different kind of balance, a different kind of resilience. So yeah, you might still have problems because, you know, ditching the booze is not going to mean that everything, all of life is rainbows and bunnies. There may still be hard stuff in your life, but you develop a different kind of compassion, resilience, just a different approach. You know something? Sober people are more kind. They really are. I really believe that. I think if everyone quit booze, everyone would be so much more kind.
You bring up an interesting point, and in my head, I've been kind of mulling over, like, so, you know, marijuana is legal in a lot of states here in the US. And in my opinion, it's very similar. You know, it numbs you out. It completely disconnects you from reality. People are addicted to it. I don't think it's called a disease being a stoner necessarily, but it's very, very similar in that way that when you stop doing it, a lot of your faculties, say, people have told me, like, oh, I can dream now when I'm smoking weed. I don't have dreams when I'm smoking weed. I can't remember anything. And now my memory is coming back. So it does hamper and disconnect from sort of your normal operating system, I guess, within your body as well. I find that. Yeah. So when you talked about supporting your brain chemistry in that way, are you referring to just food or exercise or just like a well-being lifestyle, like what you kind of talked about in the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I it's a mix of everything. You really do. If you're going to do this, if you're going to make this decision to quit alcohol, then think of it as a bit of a health, you know, upgrade, because that's what it is. It's never just not drinking. When people try to do the just not drinking is when it's really tough, because your brain chemistry will all be out of whack. Your poor body, you know, if you could hear it, it's going to be kind of screaming, well, what the hell is going on? Where's my serotonin? Where's my dopamine hit? What are you doing to me? You know, give me sugar, you know, come on. So everything is very messed up, and it's bound to be that way for a little while, but we can support it by putting in really good nutrition, making sure that we do the basics, you know, the good sleep, the fresh air, the stuff that lifts our spirits, even if only for a short time. You know, we all need to find some resources that work for us. We're not going to be reaching for the alcohol. So what can we do that lifts our spirits, even if it's for 15 minutes? You know, is that going for a walk or doing some yoga or, a hobby or some baking or some singing or some, I would say all the ings apart from drinking, you know, what can we actually do that just takes us away, if you like, just gives us, you know, something else to focus on for 15, 20 minutes rather than just reaching for alcohol, which is what we've probably been used to doing for years and years and years. So it takes a bit of thought. you need to put a bit of effort into this, because if you don't, you'll just end up reaching for the drink.
It takes some intention. Yeah, some intentional effort.
Yeah.
I just also think about, like, why do we even do it? You feel so shitty. You are throwing up and you have a headache and you're dehydrated after you've gotten drunk, except for if you're drinking sake, right? Like rice liquor doesn't give you that same, but like, we're so traumatized that we choose that.
Yeah. It's crazy. I know it's crazy. If you think about, everyone has got like one food that they are intolerant to, or one food that when they've had it in the past, it's made them ill, right? And you'll never, ever have that again. I mean, short of it being snuck into a meal that you didn't know, everyone will go to great lengths. Oh God, has that got any tomato in it? I can't eat tomato. Like, oh, I can have that, but I can't have that. You know, everyone has something that they never have, that they will never touch. Why? Because it makes them sick. And yet with alcohol, they do it night after night.
It like
crazy.
Doesn't make any
it's
sense.
Literally crazy. That's the definition of madness. Yeah, that's the definition of madness. Because we're literally brainwashed into thinking that if we don't have alcohol, we can't have fun, or we can't relax, or we can't, you know, X and Y. It's nonsense, all of it. It's absolute BS. You know, the emperor is literally not wearing any clothes. Alcohol doesn't do any of those things. I mean, yes, it numbs you out for a little bit, but then you could knock yourself over the head with a hammer if you really want to do that.
Yeah, it's always interesting when we do things that are intentionally harming us, as you mentioned, poison in the body. But then, like, the food example is just great. Like, what a weird dichotomy. Like, why? Like, we're fucked up in the head.
It's become the norm. You know, we're literally brainwashed into thinking that that's what we have to do as adults. That's the rite of passage. That's what everyone does. So we should do it too. And we're seen as odd if we don't. I mean, thankfully, not so much now, because things are changing, thank goodness. But, you know, there was a time when, it's seen as, shameful to be the one who's not drinking. And it's, you know, it's considered to be a good night out if you're totally wasted. I mean,
yeah, super weird. Yeah, it's interesting. As when I started drinking a lot less, and then now I probably drink like once a month, like very rarely. And the first time I went out with some friends and ordered non-alcoholic drinks, I had three of my friends be like, "Are you pregnant?" I was like, "No, I'm just not drinking."
So I always, my recommendation is always, if you're going out with friends, then give them a heads up. So, because it can be a real shocker to other people, and lots of us are people pleasers, and we kind of end up drinking just because we don't want other people to feel bad. So actually give them a heads up and say, "Oh, by the way, you know, when we go out, I'm not drinking." You can tell the truth or you can tell a fib. It doesn't really matter. Up to you. You know, some people say, "Oh, well, I'm on antibiotics or medication, or I'm driving or whatever the hell." And, you know, a really good one is just to say, "I'm not drinking at the moment. It's making me feel so much less anxious." Because which friend is going to argue with that, right? "Oh, no, I prefer you anxious." Don't think so. So, you know, that's always a good one. "I'm much less anxious." But then add another line that says, "But you don't have to worry about me, because it's a great alcohol-free beer and I've already checked the bar's got it," right? That then lets them off the hook. Because otherwise you've got well-meaning drinking friends who are like, "Oh no, I feel so bad for you. Like, oh, how awful, you can't drink." Like, you know, actually don't even get into conversation. Just change the subject, talk about something else. It's never a good thing to do when you're early days of sobriety to try and have discussions or arguments or try and persuade drinking friends. Leave it. If they keep asking you, if they really want to know, then tell them, "You know what? Ask me in 6 months. I'll tell you then."
That's a good point. Yeah. And I, you know, I was resolute in what I was doing, but I just was like, as a woman, you know, the very first thing people think is like, "Oh, are you pregnant?" And I'm like, I mean, not that I know. Yeah. I just don't want to drink right now.
Yeah.
So what is the Sober Club?
Yeah, so I started this community because I'd already been doing all of my holistic living stuff for so many years. And then, as I say, I finally realized it was time to ditch the booze. And then I suddenly realized, you know, there are so many people like me who are drinking more than they want to or were, and they need somewhere to connect with each other. But also many of them are going to perhaps for the very first time start to be getting interested in well-being, because once you stop drinking, so often you do start to realize, okay, so what else am I putting in my body that's not doing me any good? Maybe I should look at the food. Maybe I do need some supplements that might support what I'm doing. And what about finding my purpose and filling my time? You get so much more time, you know, and what about putting, you know, using skincare without chemicals? And why am I still spraying that toxic stuff around my home? You know, why am I doing that if I now care about myself? So the Sober Club is a member portal that is just focused on well-being underpinned by sobriety. And there's just a massive, amazing content in there. We've got a course called Get the Buzz Without the Booze. And we have a private group where everyone is just unbelievably supportive. So we have members who are day one and then members who have been sober for 10 years.
I like that. It's interesting, the visual, you know, I get the snowball visual of like the tipping point is deciding that you want to be sober or drink less or whatever. And then all these other things.
Yeah.
But then also, what about the people who are like, I meditate every day and I do yoga every day and I drink every day? Like, is that seems now weird in my head as we're having this conversation.
Well, I was one of those people for years, you know, doing yoga every day, allegedly meditating. Of course, I wasn't really. But everyone else probably thought I was. I was certainly managing to, you know, hold down an interview with Wayne Dyer and nobody would have known the difference. But, you know, you can't do this for anyone else unless someone's ready to do this. Then that's the end of it, really. I'm not up for prohibition. I'm not going to try and tell anyone they should stop drinking. But you know for yourself when that little voice in your head starts to say, this is not okay.
I think
this
that's
is not
the
authentic.
Key.
You know, when you start waking at 3 a.m., like, you know, and it's that 3 a.m. wake up when the liver is trying to repair. And, you know, my biggest regret is not listening to that sooner because I had that going on for a good 10 years, literally a good 10 years. And I would stop for periods of time. But then I'd just go back to drinking again because I hadn't grasped that life is better without alcohol.
It's completely wild that you mentioned this 3 a.m. wake up. So I haven't drank for like 6 weeks and I drank the last two nights. Not a lot. Last night was a little bit more. And I literally woke up at clock 3:20 in the morning both days. And I was like, what is like, why
yeah, you're
did
right.
I couldn't go back to sleep? And it's just wild that you bring that up. Like, I never really heard, I never really paid attention.
That's literally the liver trying to repair. Yeah. But the question for you, and again, you know, sober shaming in any way, but I would just ask you just completely openly, why did you choose to drink then?
The first night was because my sister was over and she's like, let's drink. And I was like, oh, like, okay, fine. Like, we had some tequila shots and then we only had two over the whole night, which is why it wasn't like so bad. But then last night it was like, I had one sip and then I was like, well, I'll just have some more. And I still felt like shit while I was doing it.
But so the question would be what did you think that the alcohol would give you? You know, this is the interesting question because, you know,
camaraderie, I think what you were saying,
but if you, let's imagine you went to a barbecue and, you know, with friends that you really love or family that you really love and you're having a lovely time. And at that barbecue, everyone is eating their meat burgers and you're vegetarian. And so you've got a vegetarian burger and are you still having as good a time? Or is it that what you're putting in your mouth is not enabling you to have a good? It's crazy. It's utterly crazy that what you are putting in your mouth determines your, if you're having a nice time socially, that will be despite the alcohol, not because of it, despite the alcohol. Now, if you want to play,
like our self-worth is because of what we're putting in our face.
It's totally crazy that I mean, this is the thing that drives me bonkers because people just sort of, I had one woman and she said to me, I can't stop drinking because I visit my elderly father once a week. And that's what we do together. You know, we drink whiskey and I can't take that away from him because he really appreciates it. Hold on a minute. He appreciates your visit and your conversation, not what's going down your throat. So I told her to buy some alcohol-free whiskey. If you like that kind of thing, there are amazing alcohol-free whiskeys. So she goes over there. She pours him his whiskey. She pours hers. They both sit having a fabulous time. Is there any difference? Well, yeah, she can drive home. That's the difference, right?
Yeah.
How can it possibly make a difference to the enjoyment what you're putting in your mouth?
Yeah. Yeah. Wild. We are wild creatures.
We've just been brainwashed is all.
Is there something behind that brainwashing? Like, because I also feel like the perception of alcohol, and I would say Italy comes to mind. I'm not from Italy. I don't live in Italy. But I think like in the Blue Zones book, they even talk about how they drink more red wine in Italy. And, you know, they have more people over the age of 100 in a certain place. But it seems culturally like alcohol in Europe, maybe even in the UK, seems very different than here in the US.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about different countries and how much they drink. I've heard it said, you know, the whole red wine is good for you argument came yeah. about as a result of French people, for example, drinking red wine. Now, I'm sorry, but if you actually look at the facts, you will see that there is no. It's not that French people are healthier. Yes, I would agree we drink differently in the UK and not in a good way. In Europe, generally, it's a huge generalization, but probably in the areas you're talking about, the Blue Zones, for example, they may genuinely have the odd glass of wine. So you could consider, or they might consider, okay, they're getting their resveratrol, the antioxidants. Now, I would say if you want the resveratrol and the antioxidants, have a goddamn grape, right? Or a bunch of grapes. Mm. You still don't need toxic liquid in order to get those antioxidants. However, as I said earlier, if you're having a very tiny amount of something, well, of course you can cope with it. So if you are not allowing it to become, you know, the thing that you do all the time, if you manage somehow, I don't quite know how actually, because alcohol is so highly addictive that a huge number of people, whether they want to or not, do end up getting addicted to it. But let's say you don't and you genuinely just have the odd glass. Those people will have amazing longevity despite that, not because of it. There will be a million other reasons. You'll find that they're eating fresh fish from the sea that comes all in, wild stuff. They're probably having zero preservatives. They're probably eating a huge range of different vegetables and grains and God knows what, and very little processed sugar. That will be the reason they're living a long time. It's not because of the alcohol, it's despite the alcohol.
It's like an indication of other lifestyle choices they might be making, for example. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Well, this time has flown as it always does on this podcast. This has been very interesting conversation, Janie, today. So the last question is just about if somebody wants to get more information or reach out to you or has questions, what are some handles, websites? We'll put everything in the notes as well.
Yeah, sure. So if you just go to thesoberclub.com, everything is there. You can find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. I'm very easy to find. And the latest book, if you are a fan of pop music and the 80s and the 90s, is From Wham to Woo, A Life on the Mic.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to check it out. Look, I think if I recall correctly, the cover has a nice photo of you on it.
Yeah, me from the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, very timely, very timeless. Well, wonderful. Well, Janie, this was really great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And that is a wrap of this alcohol and spirituality conversation. If you are interested in more information about the Sober Club or about any of Janie's books, we've included the link to her website and her recent book. You can find all of that information in the podcast notes. Thanks again, everybody, and we will see you next week. Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality what? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.